Welcome to Living Hope. With today's teaching, here's the Reverend Richard Brunton.
Hello and welcome to the Living Hope program today. Today's teaching comes from the letter of Jude. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. And Jude is writing to those who've been called, who are loved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. And so his letter is to all believers. He hasn't specified a particular location. He wants all Christians to be able to read and understand the truths that God has laid upon his heart. Now, he talks about wanting to write about the salvation that we share. There's only one Saviour, and the salvation that we share, there is a common salvation. We've been forgiven of our sins. We've been placed on the road to heaven. We're new creatures in Christ. This is the salvation that we share. We're no longer under judgment, no longer heading for hell. We're on a very different road. But what Jude is concerned about, and in some ways there's strong parallels with 2 Peter, he's concerned that there are those who are trying to deteriorate, to rob, to dilute pure faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, like Peter, he's wanting to remind his readers that the God who judged in the past, who kicked angels out of heaven when they rebelled with Lucifer, this God is still a God of judgment. The God who judged Sodom and Gomorrah in that terrible judgment that fell upon them because of their immorality and their sin, the Lord pours out his anger. And it's not that God hates people, but he hates sin. And if as people we get involved in sin, and if we get involved in building communities that almost honour and glorify that which is sinful, we must not be surprised for outbreaks of judgment, physical manifest breakouts that will cause a lot of heart searching, hopefully, to repent and come back to God. There are just a number of issues that Jude wants to raise. There's the issue of the dispute between the angel Michael and the body of Moses. We know how God stepped in and protected even, as it were, the death of Moses, that Moses was buried by the Lord, and one day he would appear in the land of Israel. He would be there with Elijah and Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The devil doesn't like God's plans and does everything to undermine them. The way of Cain, the way of Balaam, Korah's rebellion. These are all illustrations of people involved in ungodliness and even more serious than their own ungodliness, and that is serious, trying to divert and distract and drag others into their sin. And, well, again, some of the descriptions are so strong. You know, shepherds who feed only themselves, they don't feed the flock. Clouds without rain, twice dead, wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Oh, you know, it's a tragic, tragic picture. And Jude is longing for people to build themselves up in their most holy faith. He's longing for people to pray in the Holy Spirit. He's longing that people might be submitting themselves to God and just to believing that he is able to keep us from stumbling and falling and present us before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. These thoughts towards the end are powerful thoughts. They're really saying God hates sin, God will judge sin, but God will rescue his people. He will bring his people through even the most serious and dreadful trials into his presence without fault. And so to him be all the glory, majesty and power. Let's pause for some worship, and my good friend Patrick will join me just to have another little look at this letter of Jude.
You're listening to Living Hope, the ministry of the Reverend Richard Brunton. I'm Patrick Woodward, and I've joined Richard now to look further at the letter of Jude, which we find towards the end of the New Testament. So, first thing to say about Jude himself is that he describes himself as the brother of James, and we know that James was the brother of Jesus. So, Jude was presumably an earthly brother of Jesus.
Yes, that's right, that he would have been one of the family growing up under Mary, of course Joseph initially, but we get the impression that Joseph may have died fairly early on. But he was in that family home alongside Jesus.
Yeah, it doesn't say, does he? He doesn't say, you know, I'm Jude, the brother of Jesus. He says, I'm Jude, the brother of James.
Yes, I guess he was conscious of the way in which it could be misinterpreted, his role, his relationship with Jesus. And of course, his letter indicates that deeper relationship. It's nothing to do with being in the same family.
Yeah.
It's an actual relationship with Jesus himself.
Yeah. So he goes on to talk about, you know, these godless men, and it seems to start in verse 4, where he says, "For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you." I suppose this was always a constant danger within the early church, that there would be people who would sort of slip in under the radar, so to speak, and cause this kind of trouble.
Yes, it does seem to be very prevalent in the New Testament, and I think it probably is still happening today. People who you think are with you, but actually they're not.
Mm. And again, Jude uses quite strong language, quite strong words, in terms of how people who are false prophets, I suppose, false teachers, will be condemned in the strongest possible terms. You talked about God's judgment, talked about how, you know, God the judge, you know, will have his say at the end of the day. We see many instances in the early church of God's judgment, and we see it in the Old Testament as well. Do we see it as much today, or is this something that we're going to have to wait for?
Well, I think the answer is probably both. I'm sure there are manifestations of God's judgment in certain events, certain things that happen. But we also are very aware that God will wait that time, that end of time, when all will be judged. No one's going to get away with anything. You can imagine people thinking they've got away with it, but no, they will be held to account. But yes, I believe there are certain events that we, with great humility and wisdom, could discern as God stepping in judgment.
Mm. The tone of this letter just changed quite dramatically, doesn't it, from verse 17. And he talks about mercy, he talks about being merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy mixed with fear. The quality of mercy, something that we saw in Jesus, and something that Jude here is encouraging believers in his day to exercise as well.
Yes, I believe that Jude is distinguishing those whose mission, as it were, is to be destructive and to share error, and people who get caught up in it.
Mm.
And I think that there are sometimes people who have become part of something, maybe part of a movement, part of a something heretical. And what I think Jude is saying is, have mercy.
Mm.
You know, if there's a repentance, if people will wake up and realise where they're at and want to come back to Christ, we must be ready to help them.
Yeah. And the letter ends really very, very powerfully, very sort of majestically, to him who is able to keep you from falling, and so on. It's a very positive, very powerful, very uplifting way to end a letter.
Very, very powerful. And of course, it's so powerful that many a service, God's people gather together, many, many times people will quote these words because of that great confidence and hope that, one day we will be presented before God without fault. Jesus' righteousness has availed for us.
Okay, Richard, thank you very much indeed. Join us again next time as we continue looking at God's Word in the next Living Hope. You've been listening to Living Hope from the Reverend Richard Brunton. If you'd like to contact Richard, please visit our website at living-hope.org.uk.